The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network. Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com! Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hey, I'm Brandon.
I'm Boar.
I'm John.
It's been an interesting couple weeks, folks. I took a week off from in my personal life. You wouldn't have
known. You don't do that. What are you even talking about? That's
Wait,
crazy.
So if you take a week off in your personal life, does that mean you were working for that straight week? Or
yeah, right?
Well, I didn't. I worked in
Is that an anti-vacation?
Normally. But in this case, I worked a whole bunch leading up to it. And yet we still had two episodes of Nerdy Show out last week. Crazy. How does that happen?
It's called you didn't really take a week off.
You're right. But I did take more time off than normal, and we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about Logan, we're going to talk about Nintendo Switch and Zelda Breath of the Wild, and a lot of other random
just
stuff.
Just random crap. You're just going to hang out and chill and talk about some stuff.
It's been a really weirdly eventful and also non-eventful week, but it's been filled, at least for me personally, filled with weird shit, and I'm really happy to talk about it.
I saw a lot of movies.
Yeah?
I think this is the week I've seen more movies in a theater than any week in my life, except for, as you know, when Legends of the Guardians came out. I saw that about six times in one week, because it's one of the best movies ever made. But, yeah, no,
It's the only the only Zack Snyder movie you can say that about.
Oh, it's so good. It's the best movie that most people I know have never seen. It's so good.
Well, what films did you see in theaters?
Well, obviously, saw King Kong. Saw Logan.
And we have the King... you guys, Boar and Brandon, did a King Kong review.
We tried.
We'll link to on this episode's page.
And then I saw Get Out.
You saw Get Out?
Yeah, it was really fun. So, yeah.
Is it a horror movie? Is Get Out a horror
movie? No, see, I went into it thinking it was a horror movie, and I'm like, I don't really care about horror movies. But it was more of a suspenseful thriller. It's not really a horror movie at all. It's just like a thriller movie.
Okay.
Thriller.
With all the dancing and everything?
There's only two dance scenes. You'd probably like it.
Okay.
How about you, Boar? What you been up to?
Oh, man. Almost nothing. Brandon and I did that Kong review, and I think that's about the nerdiest thing I've done. I've been playing still lots of World of Warcraft.
Did you try to pick up Legion again?
Because that never... Yeah, I have been watching Legion. I think I'm still an episode or two behind, but I'm kind of glad that I stuck with it because I'm liking it more. The first episode was like really weird. And as we talked about, I don't think it was very representative of how the show was going to be as a whole. You've been keeping with it.
Yeah. Right? I'm at this point an episode behind from having a week off. But
that last episode, guys, holy shit. But,
I mean, I saw the last one I saw, it had the second appearance of Jemaine Clement in the show.
Yes.
And that was delightful.
I think there's only six episodes.
I think, is that why you asked me if I kept with it? Because that was the episode where Jemaine showed up and I was like, oh my God.
But I looked it up online. I think there's only six episodes. For some reason, I can't find anything past six.
Well, it's a show that's currently being released.
But only five came out. No, I meant like future to be announced episodes. It only goes up to six.
Okay.
Like on like the wiki, and it just
I was gonna
stops.
Say that's just I think where we're at, isn't
no,
it?
Yeah, yeah. No, six is coming out soon. But
okay.
I'm gonna guess there's 12.
All right.
But I mean maybe I might be
the
wrong.
The way the last episode was, I don't know.
Oh, okay. What about Riverdale? You been keeping up with Riverdale?
I'm a couple episodes behind on that too, and I still can't wrap my head around why I watch this show. Because
that's the most common review
that nobody can understand why it's compelling.
Yeah,
because if you break it down into like this is a high school teen drama with like a very slight mystery element to it about teens going to high school and I shouldn't like this show, but I watch it and I don't know why I like it. And
is
I want
it,
more
is it the subversion of Archie Comics that
I never read Archie comics.
I know one guy. I know wears of a, them. Jughead wears a crown. That's all I know about Archie comics. And they met in the Ninja Turtles once.
Like the first episode, I was like, that must be Betty. That must be Veronica. Because I have a vague knowledge of Archie comics. But beyond that, that's another reason why I don't think I should like it. Because I don't give a shit about Archie. And for some reason, I still want to watch this show. I don't understand.
How about you, John? What you been up to?
I've been on like the crazy Overwatch test server with the new character.
Oh, with Orisa. Orisa.
Do tell.
It's not. You mean OR15A?
Well, they actually pronounce her name pretty often.
Because of their backstory there, but it's really really like a nuts thing, of course, especially because on the test server, especially there's like a new character come out, you wind up with like people that are a million levels higher than you, and you don't understand how. Like, I'm a level 1,000, literally. You know what I mean? Like, those people. And they're just everywhere, and, like, you got the new character, and everybody's just running amok.
Luckily, so, like, luckily levels in that game only mean that you've put in time.
Well, and that's the whole thing, though, but it does kind of imply, like, obviously, if you're dealing with, like, a really, really high-level opponent, they've seen it all.
Yeah, obviously, like, they've played a lot.
Or it's a developer.
All the characters.
Yeah.
So, especially if you're doing, like, random. But, like, that's not even the thing. Like, it's just... It's really, really kind of weird because, I mean, the story is that Orisa was made to literally go against Doomfist, who is not currently an active character, but it's been pointed out, and of course I noticed this also, that because of some of the changes that they're putting in, it's like, it seems like they're re-engineering the game ever so slightly to then add in Doomfist, like, as maybe the next character after that.
What do you mean re-engineering? Like, I understand that they're adding new characters, but...
They changed some of the ways that, like, shields work so that, you know, the bubbles.
But here's my thing is we don't know how Doomfist is going to work. So you're just speculating
he's got a fist.
There are hints to this, though. And the whole point is like with Orisa, her fortification ability specifically prevents her from being moved by any of the attacks that would actually, like, throw somebody.
Doesn't Bastion have that?
Firm against it.
Doesn't Bastion have that if you put him in turret mode? I mean, he can't be moved.
Oh, man, no. Bastion can be, like, hooked and, like, pretty much flooding
Even in
about.
Turret mode? I didn't know that. Okay. Hmm. I mean, I don't think...
I mean, they did just change him up.
Yeah, I know you used to be able to hook him.
Because that was insane. He got so much armor. You couldn't kill him.
So does she actually feel like a new character or just like a rehashing of some other ability?
No, she feels
pretty different. New because she's sort of like almost like a long-range tank.
Well, that's not good. That's like the that's like the opposite of how a tank should work. Like, they're close range.
Well, no. It all works out really, really well, actually. And she's, you know, okay to counter, right? For example, Sombra can hack her, all that kind of stuff. God, you guys got me off topic already.
I love it.
Is that she has fortification, which disallows her from being thrown. In addition to that, they changed the way the barriers prevent damage. So in other words, like, the barriers would keep you from being thrown from, like, a projectile, like percussion shots, but not from being actually flung. So Winston can come up to enrage mode and still throw you off a bridge.
I just want to take this moment to point out for anybody who doesn't play Overwatch like me, I promise we're going to talk about something else. And it's okay if it doesn't make sense. Just know that this is a cultural zeitgeist that you're not participating in.
Everyone is participating, but you, Kat.
And everyone's going to leave you behind.
Well, to be fair, if you want to look at it that way, that's like anything that we talk about is a cultural zeitgeist that you may or may not have any idea what we're talking about.
Well, sometimes we help people into it, and with Overwatch it's virtually impossible.
What's funny is I play Overwatch and I don't remember any of their names. They go like Cowboy Guy
and I know and I Mechanical Ninja when, like, there's multiple people the same starting letter.
Ninja Man.
But the whole point here is that they're making a firm distinction between actual melee throws and, like, projectile throws, basically. So they're building that into the system when generally, you know, that wasn't a problem before. Nobody gave two fucks about it, you know?
I wish there was an actual throw button. Like, every character could run up to you and throw you. Just like a throw button.
Huh!
Like, yeah, just seriously. Yeah, just grapple anywhere and throw them.
I feel like melee doesn't do enough damage anyway. It's like, I never remember that I can punch
people.
So
if someone's right on you, shooting you with a machine gun, you could just grab them and throw them.
Yeah,
and
like
run away.
Tiny little Tracer or Widowmaker could just run up to gigantic, like, Gorilla Man and just... pick him up and throw him. That would make a lot of sense.
Have a trip move that's just cheesy. You could just keep doing it over and over.
I trained in CQC with Snake.
There you go.
Right?
Oh, well,
so what I'm getting out of that, your comment, is that you played Mortal Kombat a lot and like to do the sweep kick repeatedly on people. And you want to bring that into Overwatch so you can
whoop, 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 whoop. That's how I didn't know any fatalities. They're really hard. Back in the day,
if you don't know fatalities,
hard.
You always end with an uppercut.
No, I like to trip as many times. I like to
everybody
count
knows
how many
that.
Times I can trip before the it just finishes. Anyway.
Brandon, you straight tripping.
Straight tripping. So anyway, how's Arisa's special?
Pretty crazy. I mean, it's you have to make sure that you put it obviously in a position where it can basically have a point to point to all your teammates, but is also out of the way and not going to get shot up. I think it lasts for like 15 seconds.
What does it do?
It actually is basically, you know how Mercy's secondary boosts your actual attack damage?
Yeah.
It's like that, but for anybody on your team within sight of the thing you put down.
Oh, so it just makes everyone stronger.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. Like everybody is just attacking like crazy nonsense gibberish.
Can she still be life hacked?
Put barriers down
by crazy hack girl. Can
yeah.
Okay. See, I don't know.
Yeah,
names.
Sombra can be a real that's, problem there.
That's what
just
I meant. Sombra
all the time.
Hmm. Well, speaking of video games, I saw you Cap with a Switch, and I was one of those
Hello.
People. I was one of those people that was like, I'm not going to pre-order Switch. I'll see where it goes. But then I saw you with it and I picked it up and I was like, I didn't even play it. I just picked it up and was like, I want this. I just, it feels nice in my tiny hands, my tiny Trump hands. I want this. So I went online and tried to buy it, which is stupid. And you know, everyone's selling them for like $150 to $200 more than you should.
Well, if you get it on eBay or Craigslist. Or,
yeah.
I found one place where I could buy it, but you had to buy Zelda at full price and Just Dance at full price.
I don't want
Just
Dance,
in a package
no.
with it. And I was like, no.
No,
I'm not going to pay a $60 premium for something I'm not going to play.
Well, every now and then I'd find one at normal price, and as soon as I saw it, that means it was already gone on Amazon. But the thing that was weird was I kept seeing people selling like 30 or 40 systems. I was like, how the hell did they get 30 or 40 systems? And I actually went to a few stores to be like, hey, when are you getting in? Like, how many did you let pre-order? And most stores only let you pre-order like one or two, maybe, tops. But someone at GameStop was like, hey, come over here. I was like, what? He's like, so Walmart did this thing because they're assholes where they said, we don't care. Let people order as many as they want. So people were laying down 10 grand and buying like 30 systems at Walmart.
And that's why I can't find one.
Yeah. And they're all online for like $450 to $500. And they're all from like the same users. And there's hundreds of them.
And so, is that why GameStop had to cancel people's pre-orders?
I don't know if that had anything to do with it. I just know that Nintendo let more pre-orders go than they should have.
I think as a community, when shit like that happens, we need to collectively just raise our middle fingers to those people and let them just enjoy their purchases.
I like the idea of someone showing up in like a huge truck, like some rich person showing up in a U-Haul and being like, I've like my 30 Switches now while there's all these people.
Seriously, though, there's not going to be scarcity in the long run.
No.
Like, this is just a very temporary thing. Just wait a little while. Don't pay these assholes to be assholes.
I'm not seeing anyone buy them, too. The same number that was there a few days ago is still there now. Like, unless
good.
They're just adding more.
Yeah. Fuck them.
Yeah.
Because they're terrible, terrible people.
Yeah.
And I actually, after Cap and Channing from Derpy Show bought Switches, they were both like, oh, these are great, you know. And I got to play Cap's very, very briefly. And I decided, you know, hey, I'm going to get one maybe. And Target had them in stock, but of course you couldn't buy them online or reserve them or anything. Yeah. So I went into Target and I was like, hey, I just checked like moments ago. Do you have some of these in the back? I don't see any out here. Oh, no, we sold out this morning. You should have called. And I was like, I have never had a good experience calling a retail store. This is 2017. Why isn't your inventory system properly linked into your fucking website? I didn't obviously take this rage out onto the person that had absolutely nothing to do with it. But what the fuck, Target? I drove across town for you.
Oh, hey, you want to talk about...
Well, I went to a Best Buy, and I was like, dumb question. Do you guys have any Switches? And they just laughed. I was like, all right, bye.
You want to talk about corporate-level confusion? Well, I pre-ordered mine at a Best Buy because that was what was available to me, not because I wanted to. And it was a Best Buy that was far away from where I lived, but they had Switches, so I pre-ordered it. I called them up, and I'm like, hey, are you going to be doing a midnight release? And... lady on the phone was like, yeah, there's actually people lined up already outside, so yeah, we're gonna do midnight release.
And this was the day before?
This is the day before when midnight would have been,
yeah,
boom, Switches out. Well, hey, I hopped over that Best Buy and at 11:30 p.m. got in line with a group of folks. It wasn't a huge line. It was maybe like 12 people deep. And I'll be goddamned if Best Buy didn't open up at all.
So it was like 12 o'clock, 12:10. And what were you like? Were you like... you're just like, I'm just gonna leave.
Everybody started leaving. I was the last one to leave, except for a, I think, Swedish dude who didn't speak any English, who was just apparently standing out there smoking cigarettes all night.
He wasn't waiting for a switch. He was just
that's just his preferred location to smoke.
Well, I think what happened is the manager, because this is what happens at other game stores, the manager has to show up and open the store at midnight. I think they just forgot, or were drunk, or doing cocaine because they run a Best Buy.
It was a universal Best Buy thing. I think maybe there were exceptions in other cities, but Best Buy. I don't normally do this, but it was the middle of the night and I was angry, so I did bitch about it on Twitter. And Best Buy was like apologetic and said,
"One thing I heard about another store, because you know GameStop is usually a very stand up store with very high quality amounts of ethics and standards." Yeah. I heard that people were getting their the pre-orders sold from under them because the store will only hold them for like a few hours after it comes in.
A few
and
hours?
And then supposedly they have to sell these things and get rid of them. That way they can have their inventory replenished. Whoa. So their managers are just like, yeah, sell them to whoever comes in.
That's
whatever.
That's fucked up.
So most people that these are stories that I read online, obviously. I won't give GameStop any of my money. But they were getting their pre-orders just sold to anyone.
This is why I pay full price when I do pre-orders, just so I can be like, I paid already in full, so that no one can fuck me over.
No, but they were selling and just being like, oh, well, yours is going to come in later.
In a month or two.
Yeah.
What an asshole. They did tell me, though, at the store when I was at a GameStop, they said, and this was weird, they said you could buy a bundle if they get any in that has a bunch of crap in it you don't want.
GameStop had like a $700 bundle or $600 bundle.
But they told me I could literally take the things I want out of the box and refund it right to them right there, the things I didn't want, for the exact amount of that price. So if it comes with like a $50 game inside, I can literally hand it to them and get $50 back. The guy swore by this. He said they have this thing now where you can return anything that comes in the bundle that you don't want.
I always really believe anybody at GameStop.
I'm just,
on occasion, though, they do really weird stuff like that. It's just, it doesn't even make sense, some of the weird gaming that you could do.
No, I decided many years ago that I'm not giving those people my money. So,
well, you did a good thing.
Yeah.
You have a lot of willpower.
Well, I'll talk about the various things I got up to in my quote unquote week off. But let's take the opportunity since
we're on the
subject.
Why are you still calling it a week off? We already established that it wasn't.
You had like maybe 2 days.
It was way more than normal.
It
was
a week off.
Did you get to play?
Let's just call it a week.
Did you get to play any video games?
I played a shit ton of Zelda.
Well, then that's some time off for you. Yeah, that's unusual.
I played, I think at least over 12 hours of it. I'm not sure. I'm not really sure anymore.
So you played it for one day.
That's a week in cap time.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, let's talk about the Switch and Zelda and all that right now, since we're already.
I bought one.
I picked up your Switch.
That was difficult.
Detached the side controllers, and that was enough. I was like, I want one. I didn't even play a game. I was like, I detached the controllers, put them back on. I was like, I'm getting one.
The whole premise of it being a home console that's also a portable console. I mean, wow, it's fully functional in that regard. It's crazy how just seamless the transition is and how capable it is. Now, I don't see myself using it as a portable console much because I do prefer couch gaming exponentially, but
you can do it in your bed
and I don't know how long the battery lasts. Everyone asks me and I don't know because I haven't been testing it,
but you'd be like,
I thought it was like 3 hours or something, right?
I heard it was around 3 hours you could get out of playing something like Zelda, but if you're playing something that is lower power consuming, like Snipper Clips or Shovel Knight, you can get more like 6 hours out of it.
I just like that.
That's good.
You're playing Zelda and you're like, oh man, I really have to take a dump, and this is going to be like an hour long dump. Oh, let me just take the system with me, and you're done.
You know, I will admit that I did take the situation, the scenario that we described in our episode Switch Wipe. I thought, you know, I wouldn't have done it normally.
Did you buy any Switch Wipes?
Nerdy Show's the leading producer of Switch Wipes. But unfortunately, though, we've taken pre-orders, we don't intend to fulfill them. No, we'll never do that. That's evil. But you know, I did poop while playing Zelda for the sheer novelty of it.
I mean, and that's literally what it's made for. Despite the commercials,
it was remarkable. It was the highest quality gaming experience I've ever played in a bathroom.
I'm just now imagining that chick from the commercial now, like, taking it in to, like, you know,
they should be realistic with their commercials and show every single person not going to a basketball court or a park, but just going to take a shit and playing it still.
Has the dock scratched your screen yet?
No. Does that happen?
I've heard a lot of people complaining that the dock has like hard like plastic edges, and it will scratch the screen if you take it in and out too much.
I mean, if you jam it in way. Real quick, yeah, probably. But you should be delicate.
Well, what I'm a little bit disappointed in is the fact that the screen on the thing is supposedly has a plastic face to it instead of like Gorilla Glass or something.
Yeah,
huh.
Which
that's
is
weird.
That's really irritating.
You can buy covers they make for it, but why would you? I mean, that's...
Well, yeah, they have screen protectors that you can put on it, and I generally really, really hate screen protectors. Like, one time when I bought my Galaxy S4, the person that sold me the phone kept trying to tell me that I needed a screen protector, otherwise it was going to get scratched. And I was like, dude, it's got Gorilla Glass on it. It's not going to get scratched. And he was like, no, it really is. And so I pulled out... I think it was like a Droid 3 out of my pocket and I was like, dude, I carry this around everywhere, even with keys in my pocket.
Did you take
sometimes.
Keys out and just scratch it in front of them? Be like, look, dude.
Yeah, I did actually. I was like, here, find a scratch on this, and if you can, I will buy a fucking screen protector from you. And he grabbed it from me and he started looking at it, and he was like, oh, okay, yeah. And I was like, and that's a Gorilla Glass like 2 or like 1 before the new one that was on the Galaxy S4. So if it's got good glass, I don't buy screen protectors ever because there's no point to me anyway, because I guess I don't use like diamond rings to scratch my phone or whatever.
You're not
you normal people do to scratch your phones. I don't do that.
Drop it on the hard, rocky surfaces.
I also don't do that.
Run over by a car.
Yeah, but for the Switch, I'm thinking I might have to once I get one because it's got like this plastic screen.
Well, that's the thing. They skimped out on a lot of things so it could be as cheap as possible. You notice it's $100
people,
cheaper than like any other console.
A lot of people are taking like those lens wipes and just taping them on the inside of their dock so it doesn't scratch
the
screen.
You could just put a cloth in there. It doesn't matter.
Jeez, I don't know.
But I used caps for a second. And I feel like the only way you're going to scratch is if you just don't care and just nonchalantly just like just shove it down real quick without looking. I mean,
I feel
if
like
you look
a lot
at
of people, a lot of people will do that.
Yeah, well, sure. That's their own. They should fucking treat it with respect,
I guess.
But if you are using it as a portable system, be ready for something to fuck up, I guess, is the
I guess you would. Yeah, if you're point. I mean, if you're taking it with you,
you better get a case. Yeah.
The other annoying thing I saw is that the charging port is at the bottom of it. So people that are trying to like recharge it can't use the kickstand with it. So you couldn't just get like a battery pack and put the kickstand on just have it sitting on a table and play it.
That
portably.
Is true. Yeah.
Well, that seems like a huge oversight.
Yeah, that probably is.
I guess the charger needed to be in the bottom. For
I mean, I understand. Yeah. Putting it in the dock. Sure. But they probably could have thought of something else, like maybe a secondary charging port.
That would have raised the price.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it sounds like it would have cost a lot of money.
Now, I've been a big proponent of the Wii U. It's like Nintendo's ultimate bastard system, even more than, you know, the GameCube and anything else that's come under scrutiny over the years. And I've loved it. I thought the roster of games was exceptional, and also the play experience was exceptional, and not because of asymmetrical gameplay, because as everybody learned, asymmetrical gameplay is generally bullshit and makes for awful games that are just confusing.
Star Fox.
And Pikmin 3 a little bit. It's troublesome. That gameplay was troublesome, but by and large, many of the games were quality, and the user experience was really good. I used my my Wii U for all my internet browsing on my TV because I don't have a smart TV, and it's a great interface for it. YouTube, it's my go-to for these things because it's just faster to do than the other consoles that I have at home. So far, Switch doesn't have any of that stuff.
That's kind of surprising to me. Like, did they just not keep this in the development phase long enough to make the API available to like Netflix and Hulu and stuff like that? Like the basic
things?
Yeah,
I don't know. It is like at this point, it's missing console basics. And
I mean, the thing is essentially an Android tablet. So why didn't they just port some apps for it?
Well,
like, what the hell?
While it's a great piece of hardware, screen quality aside, like because the seamlessness, the transfer, the gameplay experience is all extremely good. The Joy-Con controllers are fabulous. The way I play Zelda is I don't even clip them together in a controller format. I have a two-handed thing for me, and it's so fun and casual and natural feeling. I just picked it up immediately. It was great, but they should have launched the system with a whole repertoire of games. There's no virtual console. There's no titles available. I mean, there are titles. There are barely any titles available. 3-2-1 Switch, which is basically the tech demo, the Wii Sports of the Switch, is $50. It's a $50 game.
Yeah, no.
No. No, no way.
And also, they usually release their systems closer to Christmas, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Which is weird.
Yeah, it seems like they just pushed this out too fast for some reason.
So what scared them so much to have to release it right now?
They're like, oh, we're going down the drain. Pokemon's keeping us afloat.
Is it because of the PS4 Pro and the Xbox Scorpios on the way and stuff like that? Do they just feel like they need to have a competing thing?
Maybe they wanted to have a whole half year of A-B testing before the Christmas rush.
A-B testing?
I just, you know, like, hey, what
A-B testing, but
it's a problem. A-B testing is probably a bad comparison. Anyway, just seeing what, you know, what works, trying to get their orders right, like manufacturer differences and like,
this is an open beta.
Open beta system.
Well, I mean, since it's in beta, there's inevitably catastrophic problems at every system launch for anybody.
Yeah.
And
I don't know, the PS4 Pro,
and maybe they're
great.
Avoiding that. And building up the system's repertoire in the months leading up to Christmas. I don't know.
There was a video somebody posted, I think in the lounge, of just a lot of miscellaneous problems that people have been having with like the system crashing and making really loud noises and all kinds of, and people are complaining about dead pixels and Nintendo doesn't care. And then there's that charging port issue and the dock scratching
dead
everything.
Pixels on the
yeah,
small
supposedly
screen.
Dead pixels are a feature.
They say that it's just sort of a thing that happens with LCDs and it's not
no it
a
doesn't
defect.
Anymore not anymore what like 20 years ago
yeah especially on a 720p screen the pixels are not I mean they're going to be pretty noticeable so
yeah
that's yeah
annoying.
Yeah that's really annoying so I'm sort of thinking I kind of want to wait for a hardware revision at this point with
but you're gonna be waiting
what
until
I've
2018 most likely
possibly
when the Slim comes out
yeah
I mean, so far, no hardware problems for me at all. But it is disappointing that Nintendo is doing Nintendo, you know, like they're not having virtual console representation, not having much of a library when they have all that stuff easily portable to the system. It's ridiculous. As is, it's come out featureless. It is purely, I mean, Bomberman looks like it's fun, but it is purely a Zelda machine right now. There's no
which
other point
is okay
it.
With me because Wii U for me was the Zelda machine. I literally bought it for Zelda and
but,
it never came out and I'll buy
thing,
a new
though.
System
well,
just for Zelda
and I will say if you have a Wii U there's no reason you shouldn't buy this game for Wii U straight up it's true it's the same game and
okay you say that but now that I have a PS4 Pro it's like if I'm playing Horizon Zero Dawn on it it's like I'm not playing it for a system that isn't Pro because the difference is too great for me like loading times and screen quality
however the key caveat here is
I'm spoiled
it seems like the Zelda on the Wii U versus on the Switch are like trade-offs between the two. Like literally sometimes one will load faster in one area and one will load faster in another.
I figured the
like,
draw
there
distance,
is no clear-cut winner at these
the draw
ways.
Distance has no, to be better on the Switch.
The draw distance is the same. The difference is really? That they're rendered at different resolutions. The Switch has a higher resolution when you have it connected to a TV.
Is that it?
That's pretty much it.
Well, I want it.
Right. I'm with you on that. I want a higher resolution, but I would like it even better if maybe Nintendo would stop making hardware and they just made games like Sega does and produced games for the PS4 Pro or something. Because wouldn't it be so much better if you could play Breath of the Wild at you know, like 1080p or 4K or
oh,
something?
Yeah. It'll never happen, but that sounds great.
Yeah, it would be so much better.
Mean, the real question to me is why the hell didn't they go for a full HD? Why didn't they go for 4K?
Yeah, that's
like,
really irritating.
That would have made the system more expensive. And well, they like to be 10 years behind every other company.
They seem
at this
to
point.
Like to be behind as far like as resolution and stuff goes. Is it because they want to be more affordable?
Yes, it is 100%. That's their ethos, first and foremost, of affordability to reach a wider audience.
And look, I'm okay with it being behind as long as the games are good. But like you said, Zelda's out. I don't see any new or good Star Fox or Metroid or
I'd rather
Mega
pay an
Man
extra $100 up
like,
front if it meant that their games were going to be like more modern.
I would pay $400 for a slightly better system. That's why all the other systems are $400. They have more features.
Also, here's a question. Did we ever determine whether or not the Skyrim that they're releasing on that is the newer one or the like one from 20 years ago?
I don't see why they wouldn't put the newest one on there.
If it can't run the like remastered version, then what's the point?
Yeah, if it can't run the remastered, then they would not.
I don't think Bethesda would be interested in releasing a Skyrim version at this point that isn't the remastered.
Right, and they still would have the ability to like turn the system settings down. I mean, it wouldn't have to obviously output at a higher resolution or use the full gigantic texture package or whatever.
Yeah, and regardless, I am still going to buy the Switch as a Zelda machine. Every time I buy a new Nintendo system, it's usually for Zelda, which is the most expensive game ever.
And so far, like, despite the fact that it's missing features, despite the fact that I can't turn on my TV and switch between inputs and outputs as conveniently as I would, well, I mean at all, whereas that's a standard feature on the Wii U, which has been amazing over the years. It is a great fun system. If you just want to play Zelda, maybe find a Wii U somewhere and get the Wii U copy. But
or if you want to buy my Wii U, and then I'll just buy a Switch.
If you want to get something started with this new system, it might improve. It probably will improve. And the actual hardware gameplay itself is great. But let's talk about Zelda. Let's talk about this weird new Zelda game that is very different from other Zelda games.
I heard it's like Dark Souls.
That doesn't make any sense
okay,
to me.
Okay, never mind.
Why would it be like Dark Souls?
Because it's so hard and you die really easily. I mean, we sat down and watched you play it and you died like really, really awfully in front of us.
That's true.
A la Dark Souls. Like you were smacked down like a bitch.
It actually seems
that had
more,
absolutely no chance of winning.
It seems more like Final Fantasy 15, kind of. There was like a large enemy in the background. You kind of tried to mess with it and it murdered you.
Yeah. Okay. But... I guess so. It's weird because, you know, it is a Zelda game, but it does have many hallmarks of modern open world games.
Which was the point.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they were going for.
Maybe I've never played Monster Hunter, but I keep thinking that there's a little bit of Monster Hunter in this. Because I remember we did the Monster Hunter microsode about a year ago or so. And the whole premise was, you know, it's any situation can be overcome provided that you
prepare, bring the right pills, bring some paintballs, bring some markers, prepare your weapons with poison, get the right weapon, get enough items to make new armor,
and also have the
cooking skills. Don't forget
but also
the
have
skills.
The cunning to do that. To you can
is it
you,
cunning or patience? Because I ain't got
cunning.
Both.
You can fight naked with a standard weapon and you can kill something. This Zelda is so unrestricted. I don't know what the scaling is in terms of enemy difficulty and all that. There clearly is some, but I fought a Lionel, which is an old school Zelda villain. It's basically
Snarf.
It's like a cross between a lion and a centaur and a bull.
Oh, weird. Cool.
And it was huge. It has like actual tactics. It has a shield. It has a large sword. It switches to a bow that has electric arrows, and it charges at you. It breathes fire.
I feel like these enemies were in Link to the Past.
That's a lot of special moves for one thing.
On Death Mountain, in Link to the Past, there were these centaurs that breathed fire, and I think they had shields and stuff.
Yeah, it's a Lionel. It's a classic. It's an old school Zelda.
I'm glad. Well, I haven't seen them since like Link to the Past.
This game has a lot of notes.
Oh God,
from,
I just realized what you were talking about. Those are nasty.
Yeah. Don't bring a wooden shield, you'll lose it.
this game has a lot of characters, enemies, notes, and feeling, weirdly, of the first Zelda game.
Oh, like go to a graveyard, push a stone, and there's like a master sword down there.
No,
I'm
mostly
sword.
About the enemies. Like actually, the enemies feel more like bizarre 21st century versions of the original game, which is why there's Lionels and there's moblins.
Is there a dragon with three heads?
Not yet, but there might be.
Are there Dodongos?
I haven't bombed any yet, but I'm sure
they're
there.
I'm so hungry I could eat a Dodongo.
I mean, there was an Octo.
I've got a question cool. about combat in the game.
Yeah.
So I was told that if you went and killed an enemy, it would usually drop whatever weapon it was holding.
Yes.
And then you can use that. So like you could go into a high level area, kill a high level enemy, grab his weapon, and then you would have a really awesome weapon.
But it would break after.
But yeah, they break after a while. Is that really annoying? And like you go and you're like, oh, I got this cool sword, and like how fast does it break? And
they have different scaling durabilities.
Okay.
And which is kind of weird because they don't actually tell you like a numeric quantity of durability. It just sort of mentions it in the description. And there's no gauge. It'll just tell you that it's kind of badly damaged. And then I believe there's probably going to be an opportunity to fix them as I progress in the game, but I'm not sure
probably
yet.
Probably a blacksmith or something.
It is problematic, but it is more of a challenge than it is, at least for me. For me, it's not an annoyance because I have there's an economy of picking up weapons so much so that, you know, if
is
you're
it
good,
really easy to switch between them?
Like, yeah, it is.
There's like hotkeys and it's just a whole menu. Just boop, boop, switch, switch. Like you, Danica played it for a bit and she got a stick and was using it. And then she found like a rusty like sword and she just immediately switched to it. And it was a lot stronger, but it broke after like four or five hits because it was rusty.
That sounds annoying.
I mean, but like I said, there you get like hundreds of, there's weapons just everywhere.
Yeah, I mean,
it literally was sticking out of the ground and she just took
it. I come
it.
In any given situation with like 6 or 7 weapons at a time.
That's actually kind of cool.
And I, it's constantly like, it's constantly rotating, and what creates it, the constantly rotating status is the fact that they are being destroyed.
What about your armor?
The armor is not destructible.
All right, well, let me tell you about
and
a game.
I assume if you get a Master Sword, it's pretty durable.
Let me tell you about a horrible game called Final Fantasy Legends 1, 2, and 3, where not only are your weapons and armor insanely expensive, but they all break. Your armor breaks, your shields break, and your swords break. And then if you don't have enough money to buy new ones, you have to restart the game over. Because there's no way to beat any enemies without it. That's a horrible game.
That sounds awful.
It is.
Well, I guess what I was getting at with the Lionel is that battle
Lionel
was repeated deaths. I was playing it for hours because I was up till 6 in the morning.
So that was
today.
Half of your vacation you played fighting a Lionel.
Because I wanted to, before doing this episode, I wanted to have completed an actual dungeon because I had played forever and still only come across one actual hypothetical dungeon.
I feel like it's more like Wind Waker, where there's only gonna be like 3 or 4 main dungeons.
I don't know.
Hashtag still lost in the water temple.
Well, I was in
there's gonna be a water temple. You know that.
Well, there might be another water temple, but I was definitely in at least the water temple equivalent of where I am now in the story, and it was not that challenging.
And there was surprisingly little water.
Probably because you did a lot of exploration and got some cool armor and stuff before you went.
There was everywhere.
Yeah. There was only, let's say, 5 enemies and.
In the dungeon?
And 4 puzzles and then a big boss.
5 enemies? That doesn't sound very Zelda-ish.
None of that makes any sense, actually.
Every room should have 5 enemies. Then you walk in the next room and there's 5 more enemies.
Let's say economy of the game, and I don't mean the actual economy, but. Is very different. Like, you know, you walk around the world and you find Zelda things. You find some rocks that make a shape and you do something. Well, in this game so far, the only thing you really get from messing around with that and figuring out the puzzle of why things look weird or are acting weird is getting a seed from a Kokiri kid.
The tree spirits.
Yeah, the tree spirits. And that's important. That's an important mechanic. It helped, like, you cash in those seeds to get slots for more equipment.
Are they like gold skull tullas almost in the game? Like, those are
kind
the things
of, yeah.
You want to collect everywhere.
But instead of just finding them, it's actually doing a thing, kind of figuring out a small puzzle.
One flavor of side quest.
Wait, so, okay, so you complete a puzzle, and then a kid shows up and gives you a seed.
Well,
is that what you just
spirit.
Said?
He's a magical spirit that probably pops out and goes, oh, you found me. Here's a seed. Find the rest of us. Hee hee.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's throughout the world. But
I was just picturing like a kid wandering by, like, "Oh, hey, you put the rocks in the right
you
order.
Pick up
here's
a, rock.
A seed."
There's like a kid pops out of the wall, right. Like, "You found my rocks. I mean, here's a seed.
They're
get
like,
out of
they're
here."
They're spirit children or whatever. But so far, you know, I haven't found, you know, a hole that I would jump into and, like, you know, kill.
There isn't a hole. Cap won't jump into.
Kill some bugs and then get 20 rupees. Like, that hasn't happened. That's not a thing that happens in this
game. Well, finding
game,
hearts apparently. And money, I hear, is difficult.
Difficult. Well, there's no hearts. It's all food. It's all food. So apples and Hylian mushrooms are like the major health thing, and you cook the food to make it better or combine it to make different foods. And there's a whole, you could waste a lot of time doing cooking,
it's
crafting
stuff. It's an
open
world game. You do that in every open world game now, boy.
And it's a bit of a nuisance, but not a major nuisance. Because
I just want to slash grass and get hearts.
Are you're telling me there's no cooking in World of Warcraft?
There is, but you can completely avoid it.
Well, you can also completely avoid it
by
in this.
Paying someone else to do it for you.
Because you can collect an infinite number of apples and mushrooms, and those will act as half a heart. And you'll just eat them and eat them and eat them whenever you need them.
I hear when you get
it
to
sounds
a main,
like Skyrim.
There's a main hub in Zelda that you can get to where there's an online auction house where people can be like, I found this cool weapon or item, and you can bid for it.
Are you fucking
rupees?
Kidding me?
Yeah, but I heard that might happen.
That would be terrible. I would hate that. Yeah. Okay. But also, the game has
Zelda
like
MMO.
Survival stats. The on the HUD at all times you have a sound meter showing how much noise you're making. You
is
have,
that really important?
Yeah.
Alright.
Is
Zelda again?
Is this like Splinter Cell? Like, what is going on?
Well, you have to sneak up on stuff. You can one hit kill a beast if you have the chance.
Oh, so there's stealth mechanics.
Yeah. There's a temperature gauge, so if you're too hot or too cold, you can find out like how dangerous it is.
So and, if like, you go near like a volcano level and it's really hot and you like are losing health, so then you just take off all your clothes and you're like, woo.
Well, no, what you're gonna want to do is you're gonna want to have had got some kind of potions or food that's gonna give you a stat boost to change that for you.
So if it's like
what you want is your red fucking tunic.
Yeah, your asbestos armor.
You can get specialty armor. I haven't gotten any yet. I think there was a chance
you
to
have blue armor
on.
I saw it. It's like blue.
Yeah, it's blue, but that's only good for swimming up waterfalls.
Oh, that's cool.
What does that even mean?
Is it inadvisable to go chasing waterfalls?
You should stick to the rivers and the streams that you're used to.
Well, it's when you have this armor. If you don't have this armor, then yes, do not do that. It's a terrible idea.
Just sink.
You're probably going to drown. There's also a stamina meter. So Link has stamina at all times.
That's right. You can climb.
You can climb on anything.
So Link can't necessarily go all night.
No, he can't. What you're going to want to do is every time
you eat the right foods.
There's scattered throughout the landscape. There's shrines. And the shrines have these different puzzles that you do. There's some that are combative.
Do they give you dragon shouts?
No. They give you these spirit orbs.
Loose.
And for every four spirit orbs, you can talk to you can pray to a goddess statue and either get yourself a new heart or jack up your spirit, your stamina meter a little
Which
bit.
Which would you say has been more useful to you in this game? Because you die pretty quickly in this
game. For sure. But
you need to climb shit.
You do.
What if there's what's on top of that mountain? You'll never know.
I've gotten at this point enough spirit orbs to cash it in three times. I've gotten two hearts and one stamina that's doing fine by me.
That's a good ratio. 2-1?
Yeah.
I'm going to stick to three hearts the whole game and just pump everything into stamina.
I also found a demon statue.
Legendary mode.
Yeah.
That looks like a perversion of the goddess statue that says that the goddess trapped this person, this demon in the statue. And so it steals a heart from you and makes you buy it back from it and says, okay, so you think I'm so evil, but say you wanted more stamina, but you accidentally got a heart or whatever. Well, you can trade your heart for stamina and just pay me the conversion cost and I'll
so you can convert.
Yeah.
Weird.
If you by communing with a demon, I don't know if there's any problems with doing that.
That would be really neat if you start almost like Shadow of the Colossus, your skin starts turning slightly black and weird the more you do that. That'd be great.
I've already encountered three towns so far. They're all really big and full of quests.
Oh, there's towns.
I
thought the world was destroyed.
And well, there's more than one.
This is a post-apocalyptic Zelda game. There's the story. We haven't even gotten into the story. The story is crazy. Well, not crazy. The story's
weird. Do we
know
which one of the trillion timelines this is?
No, but there appears to be both bird people and Zoras. So,
what?
So it's after Wind Waker.
Maybe, or
before?
It's an alternate timeline because Wind Waker is the only timeline that did have bird people, so maybe it's an alternate timeline of the bird people.
Or they finally drain the fucking ocean and this is what's at the bottom.
This is very possibly the latest down the timeline there's ever been a Zelda because Ganon is now Calamity Ganon. That's what they're calling him. He's basically a storm.
Calamity.
He's a storm of evil surrounding Hyrule Castle. And, with a mysterious pig shape that appears ghostly. And
have fun fighting that.
Let me tell you guys a story. And this is not a spoiler because it comes in very, very early. I thought they were going to suspend this mystery throughout the whole game, but actually it happens pretty abruptly. They tell you everything that happened. You wake up in a pod. Link wakes up in a pod, some kind of weird ancient technology. He was fatally...
What?
Yeah. Wait, do you not know any of this?
You're talking about Mass Effect Andromeda, right?
You're basically frozen in a pod and you come out.
He was fatally wounded 100 years ago.
John is losing his shit.
The people of Hyrule had a prophecy. They knew that there was a cycle.
There's a prophecy.
Of Ganon, of Ganon coming back and there being a hero and all that, the Triforces.
They should have just killed Link then so that he'd come back.
Yeah, he'd come back.
Well, maybe not in time. I don't know. Anyway, here's what happened. So they had stories of ancient Sheikah technology. So they dug up all these things called guardians, which look like these big robotic vases with Dr. Octopus tentacles coming out of them. And also the ancient beasts, which are these mechanical animals. The only one I've seen so far is a mechanical elephant, a giant mechanical elephant that sprays water out of its trunk.
Okay.
And they were basically, they built this whole army of, we're going to fuck Ganon up. As soon as he shows up, he's dead. Ganon shows up and immediately, as though he planned it, possessed all the technology. And waged war on Hyrule, killed all the champions.
Do they not know what a firewall is? They just, it's so stupid.
Hack this.
Yeah, so Ganon's the elite hacksaw.
He's just a bunch of ones and zeros right now.
So all of Hyrule proper, the big town surrounding the castle and all that, that was ravaged, destroyed. And all the towns that exist, all the towns I've discovered are all on the fringes of what could be considered, the continent of Hyrule or whatever.
People need to move. So this keeps happening.
So Ganondorf is basically some sort of weird spirit thing. Is this going to be Castlevania 2 where you have to go around and find all of Ganon's parts
so you can
and
stop
put them
him.
In a cauldron and like recreate his body so that you his spirit will be sucked into it so then you kill him.
I don't know because I don't really know what's going to happen.
What did you find from the first dungeon you beat? What's
and
the item?
Is Midna in this somehow?
Well, these ancient technology things, the thing they look like most is the Twilight stuff, but I don't know if there's going to be a crossover there. And to your point about the dungeons, like I said, it was a small, weird dungeon. It was challenged. It had some challenging moments, but mostly was pretty
fine. Did you find like something said Ganon's foot or an eyeball?
it allowed me, oh man, I don't know. This is where spoiler territory could happen. I did not get an item, and this game starts you off with basically an ancient smartphone, the Sheikah Slate.
Of course it
looks
does.
Like a tablet, and, like an iPhone. It looks like a 7 Plus.
And it enables you, it right off the bat, as soon as you like kind of do some quests around this immediate area that you're that you start the game in, which I didn't realize is actually a very well-disguised training arena that is huge. It's a whole training, it's the game tricks you into sticking you in a gigantic training montage and you don't even realize it's happening. You acquire some core abilities which appear to be at the heart of the game, and in getting these abilities it's basically what allows you to explore the entire world, and you don't seemingly need anymore. I don't know that I'm going to get a hookshot. I've seen no evidence that such a thing exists. What I have is I have the ability to generate spirit bombs, two kinds, round ones which
spirit
can roll
bomb.
And square ones which don't move when and you can detonate them on command. So you drop them out, throw them, whatever.
You know there's going to be bomb chews. Come on.
No, there's no bomb chews. You don't need
yet,
them.
You're just the beginning.
Unless they take away my Sheikah Slate, I won't need any of that stuff. I also have the ability to freeze time on moving objects, and while they're frozen, hit them to create a kinetic charge that then once it disperses, we'll say if you hit a boulder or something that's moving, then freeze it, you hit it, and then once it unfreezes, it'll rocket in the direction you hit it in. There's also a magnet thing that allows you to, say, pull metal chests out of the water or move big slabs of metal around or crank gigantic gears. And eventually a photo app that
nice.
Is key to recovering Link's memories because he's amnesiac when he wakes up.
Selfies.
And what's the one I'm missing? An ice one that lets you create columns of ice out of water, either vertical, horizontal,
wherever
the water is.
Wow, this is the most well-off Link. They're just like, here's a bunch of shit, get
and you
to
start
work.
With it, basically.
Wow.
Because you need these tools to explore the world.
Remember back in the day when they're like, you're starting your adventure, here's a sword, get to it.
It's made out of wood, have fun.
Yeah. And thanks, dude.
And on the one hand, I actually miss the patterns of what, you know, like, everyone criticizes Nintendo for making different versions of the same games over and over again.
You like unlocking a new item. You're like, oh, now I can do this thing I couldn't do.
I like the Metroid-style unlocking. Yeah. The Zelda version of the Metroid.
But you're still early. You might go to a completely different world where none of your shit works.
This paradigm could change completely. Like, I will fully... this game is so big from where I am right now.
You might travel back in time or forward
that
in time.
I will openly admit that I may know nothing about how this is going down.
The Temple of Time is in the game, right?
Yeah, it's ruined, but yeah, it's
but,
there.
You know, you're going to get an app that lets you rebuild ruined things at some point and like, or like hold it up and see what it used to look
and
like.
And then after you get
cool.
the Master Sword, you jam it in there, you become a kid.
And you're going to get a shovel and a mining pick.
How great would that be is you actually turn into a kid as the last chapter of the game, not
backwards.
An adult. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you stop Ganon before he becomes a cloud as a kid. We just nailed it.
Fight all of those things after he possesses them.
We just nailed it, guys.
Is this like is this a technological metaphor? Like the cloud is fucking over your technology?
Yep.
Oh.
And that's
the cloud
why,
is bad.
That's why Nintendo has carts.
Whoa.
Oh, which reminds me. Everybody's probably familiar now, maybe, with the phenomenon of Nintendo having flavored their game carts.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well,
spicy.
The what? Nintendo...
I actually witnessed two people licking them yesterday.
What the hell are you talking about?
The carts for the Nintendo Switch are...
The cartridges?
Yeah, they're teeny tiny. They're smaller and like they're easier. They're more pill-shaped than the SD cards in the various DSs.
And they come in a giant case.
They don't come in a giant case, but they do come in a disproportionately large case. And so to prevent them from being seen as food by small children, they have flavored them wrongly. It's a bad flavor.
Oh, did you lick yours?
I haven't yet.
It's a similar chemical to what they use for the anti-nail biting nail
shit.
Polish.
Yeah.
It's just dog shit.
Well, I was actually going to bring it in the studio and lick it during the recording, but I totally forgot. So I could go out there and I could go get it.
You have no idea what it tastes like?
No, I have
You're
no
gonna
idea.
Lick your tiny cartridge that might destroy.
Or you and I could both lick it.
Okay, get it. Go get it.
All right. Well, you guys have a nice conversation.
Actually, I wanted to bring up Iron Fist. Do any of you know anything about Iron Fist?
I know that it's a series that's going to be on Netflix before too long, and he's some sort of white guy. that punches.
Here's the thing.
I see that you've seen the Facebook ads.
Here's the problem is there's a lot of people, I don't know much about Iron Fist, but I did some research, and there's a lot of outrage, people saying, oh, Danny Rand is white. Of course, a white person gets to be a martial artist, and he's better than all the actual martial artists. Why is he white? But I thought, isn't Iron Fist in the comics white? I mean, they're staying true to the character. Yes. Danny Rand is, oh, Cap's back. So Danny Rand from Iron Fist, he is white.
He is white.
Because the whole point is he's an outsider.
I mean, they're accurate to the comic. That is a component of his character.
So why is there so much outrage right now that he's white?
Well, because
they don't know.
Because they had, with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, they had the opportunity to do right by Iron Fist and recast Danny Rand as an Asian person and,
like that guy from,
you know, change his story inherently, but that's okay because there's not enough Asian superheroes and this was a chance for them to do that.
Or use the guy from the new Star Wars Rogue One. That would have been great. Forget his name, but he's awesome in all of the movies he's been in.
Oh, Donnie Yen?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is great.
But I guess staying true to the comics, they cast it the same way he was because there's a whole theme of him being like a foreigner or an outsider, and if they cast an Asian actor, it would have defeated that.
It would have inherently changed the character.
And the entire story that they wrote.
And maybe that was a good thing, maybe that's a bad thing. It is kind of absurd.
Either way, it's addressing racism.
However, I guess critics got a hold of the first six episodes because that's what they do, and they screened it, and they gave it horrible reviews.
Yeah, I heard it was boring or something.
Either they said it was unoriginal or boring. Like, it got 14% of Rotten Tomatoes. Even when you don't like something, it's usually not that low. So I'm a little worried,
yeah,
but...
Yeah, that seems, like, lower than anything I've ever seen.
Yeah, they're saying it's not like, as good as any of the other Netflix MCU shows.
It'd be interesting to go and look at what the other things that got 14% are.
The ICP Music Festival.
well,
I think that's it.
I don't know. I mean, that's weird that their Marvel has not made a bad Netflix program.
But this is a different director.
They're all different directors.
Exactly. So, I mean, it had to, given how many they're pumping out, it was only a matter of time. So, yeah.
So I'm holding this cartridge here. It's slightly bigger than
the thumbnail. Can I see real quick? Can I just touch it?
Yeah, touch it. Go ahead.
It's gone. Where is it? Where is it, Cap? It's so small. This is weird.
It doesn't smell like normal. Anything.
I feel like if you lick it, you're going to ruin it. Half of it is a fucking metal prong.
Lick the half that isn't metal prongs.
You want me to lick the plastic?
Just lick the plastic, not the label.
Here we go. Ah! Ah! It won't go away. Oh my God. Give me some of the Dr. Pepper boy. I don't care if my saliva is in it. Give me some Dr. Pepper.
It's my Dr. Pepper.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's awful.
It tastes like bitter melon or something. Something really horrible.
It lingers as well.
Yeah, it's not going away.
You want to hit this?
You want some STDs?
Whatever. Okay, throw it over here.
You just lost your cartridge. Why would you do that?
And now you don't have Zelda anymore.
It's right above that box, under the brown box. Yeah, right there. You almost lost your entire game.
Okay, all right, here we go. Are we going to Kino Waz?
Are you going to lick the front or the plastic where we all have our diseases?
Where did you lick it?
The plastic, the black part.
God damn it, Brandon.
It's like we've made out now.
That is not pleasant, even slightly. That is,
well, we're all
glad
saliva.
I'm in the studio.
We're all saliva brothers now. Not me though, because I went first.
It's just kind of unpleasant. I didn't scream like Brandon, I guess.
I
didn't hit the right part of my tongue
He licked it all
off. As deeply.
I think there's only so much on there, and I licked half of it off. So, but it's still on my tongue, and it's really bitter. It's really bitter. It's gross.
You'll be glad to know that a little bit of Dr. Pepper makes it go away.
Thanks. My tongue is dry now. I don't know what that chemical is, but I think I'm allergic to it. I think my throat's swelling.
So we've talked about all this for an hour now. Our runtime is almost over. So let's briefly talk about how you can help Nerdy Show continue to exist and the awesome people who help it exist. We're an entirely listener-supported podcast network. If you like this podcast, if you like any of the shows we do, please consider supporting us on Patreon. And we have a new patron to celebrate right now. Tell us about this patron, Boar.
Oh, that's me. Our new patron's name is Tammy McDermott, and I'm supposed to come up with something clever and fun to say to Tammy, but I'm not 100% sure if this Tammy is the Tammy that married Bird Person, and there was that whole that whole debacle. I'm kind of wary of Tammy's at this point, so I don't know if I want to give Tammy, you know, a lot of clever and wit until we prove that she's not the Tammy that married Bird Person. But, you know, thanks for supporting us either way, Tammy. And, you know, we hope to hear some stuff from you in the future
that can confirm or deny whether or not
if you can point out, you know,
that you aren't a double agent for the Galactic Confederacy or whatever it was.
Exactly. Yeah. If she can prove that, then, you know, maybe I'll be a little bit nicer towards Tammy in the future and I'll think of something clever and fun. But for right now, Tammy, I just want to say welcome and thank you for your support. And I hope that you're not a traitor.
Wow. If you support us on Patreon, not only do we shout you out on the show, but you have the ability to request your own shout outs once a month. And also to you get all kinds of perks, including from our last episode, we had an interview with Lasagna Cat. Well, with Fatal Farm, who make Lasagna Cat. Fantastic internet videos. It was a great interview. Whether you're familiar with their work or not, if you're interested in like independent filmmaking and surrealist stuff, you should definitely check it out. And we got a whole slew of bonus content from that. I haven't released it yet. It's coming soon because I wasn't working.
Yeah, we know you have not been working during that week where you worked.
Yeah, shut up. Yeah.
My throat feels so bitter right now. It's traveling down to my insides. It's really gross.
So we do have a reoccurring shout out from Jeffrey McSorley, one of our Patreon backers. And here it is. Do you have old shirts? Shirts that are nerdy, but have holes in them, or simply are too stretched out from wearing them the last 1, 2, or even 5 years? Is this you? Does this describe you? Well, boy, howdy. Do I have a suggestion for you? Toss out your old crummy clothes or donate them to a thrift store and replace them with genuine Nerdy Show t-shirts. Yes, you heard it right. You too can replace your faded Mario and Game of Thrones tees with the likes of your favorite Nerdy Show Network show. Show support for Nerdy Show to your friends, or just get a Peekathor and astound all around you with its glory. And don't forget, they even come in kid sizes. Yes, even the Friday Night Fanfiction ones. So go ahead, eliminate the ragged shirts of yesteryear and replace your wardrobe with all the shirts Nerdy Show has to offer. Just follow the links at nerdyshow.com/nerdystore. Thanks, Jeffrey McSorley. And yes, you can buy our shirts, either the ones that we have printed ourselves or on Amazon. We have a whole store dedicated to our awesome shirts and also products available like role-playing gear for the Ghostbusters role-playing system. We got stickers for Nerdy Show and Dungeons and Doritos, all kinds of stuff that you should check out at the Nerdy Show store.
I'm glad you read that because I would have said Pikathor again for the fourth time. if they just spelled it properly, like P-I-C-A, like Pika de Gallo... I mean, like, that would be fine for me to read.
Wait, like, they, like, Nintendo?
Yeah. Anyway.
It's only, you know, I mean, it's us referencing Pikachu and Thor. That's the only way to do it is to P-I-K-A. Anyway.
Pikathor.
No. Anyway, there is a way you can help us that doesn't involve spending any money at all, and that is to rate and review us on iTunes. It helps all of our shows across the network get noticed even more. So if you could do that, that would be absolutely wonderful. And
I mean, also Amazon.
Well, we can talk about Amazon later. Yeah,
that doesn't cost you anything. You're going to buy shit anyway. If you do it through our link, we get some of that.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, that's all you got to do.
Nerdyshow.com/Amazon. Follow our Amazon links for all your purchases. Just shop through our links instead of make it your bookmark.
If you're buying a Switch, we'll get like a chunk of that. And you're not spending anything extra. And it helps support
us. Money you're already spending.
Yeah.
Boom. So, Brandon, we do have somebody who rated and reviewed us on iTunes.
Oh, I got that right here. It's from, okay, I'm going to mispronounce it. It's either Happy Bell Snickle or Happy Bellsnickle. but either way, he says, or she, because I don't know, a wide variety of topics covered by a highly informative team. Also, quite entertaining.
Thank you very much,
Happy I'm not Bell on Snickle. The informative side, but, you know.
Yeah, you handle the entertainment.
Well, really, sometimes.
Cap handles the informative, and I'm just kind of here.
Kind of a mix. You're a good ratio.
Yeah, I try to straddle the line, you know what I'm saying? And while we're talking about you know, ways to support the network and maybe we should tell them a new way to get involved with us.
For
and
sure.
That's going to the Nerdy Show subreddit. If you're a Reddit user, why don't you already like us on Reddit? Go to our subreddit at reddit.com/r/nerdyshow and go ahead and subscribe on that, and then, you know, whenever we put out a new show or a new article or anything like that,
blammo,
boom, right in your Reddit feed, you can see what's going on, you can comment, and you can talk with us, even though there's not a plethora of comments right now because we only have around 60 some odd followers. you can change that. You can increase that number.
Yeah, this Reddit's a new thing.
Yeah, it's so fairly new. You know, if you comment there, I'll see it. Cap will see it. We'll talk to you. We'll respond. I think we've had a 100% response rate.
That's true. Yeah,
pretty much on Reddit. So, you know, if you're not getting our attention on the forums, you're not getting our attention on Facebook. Man, I mean, try our subreddit because, though, admittedly, we pay attention to it.
We also pay attention to those things. So,
I mean, we do, but you know, maybe if you're not into that, it's a new avenue for you to connect with us.
I will be at Oak City Comic Con this weekend. That's March 17th and 18th, or 18th and 19th, basically Saturday and Sunday in March. And I'm going to be hosting some panels. I'm going to be emceeing the big dance. It's a great show. It's in Raleigh, North Carolina. You should totally come out and say hey.
Are you going to South by Southwest?
No, fuck South by Southwest.
Oh, you're done with that? I thought it was a good thing.
Hey, South by can be a lot of fun, but I covered it for 2 years, at this point like 5 years ago, for Consequence of Sound. I could do it again if I wanted to, but hey, I don't want to. It's a nightmare.
Oh, okay. Well, then never mind.
At least, like, if you're covering it for tech or film, it's probably a lot of fun, but I generally end up covering it for music, and it is the most insane clusterfuck. It's not a festival. It's not a convention.
It's just kind of all over the city, too, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like a buckshot of pandemonium all across Austin.
Yeah.
So, interesting thing to be a spectator of. Terrible to work at, because you're pulling crazy hours, and it's awful.
You know what is really fun to be a spectator of, though? And we're running out of time.
We are running out of time.
We watched this crazy little thing that happened in 1998 in Japan.
Yeah, we sure did.
This thing that may have started this whole old boy craze, I think.
Yeah,
old boy craze.
Well, okay, so old boy.
Yeah, old boy craze.
Old boy came out in 2003, right?
What?
Well, the film Old Boy. The film Old Boy.
You'll see where we're going.
The amazing part of the...
I've never heard of this, but continue.
Wait, you've never heard of the film Old Boy?
No.
The part of the Vengeance trilogy?
What is the Vengeance trilogy?
A guy kills a bunch of people with a hammer. The plot of Old Boy is...
Guy kills a bunch of people with a hammer. How do you not know this?
The plot of Old Boy is a dude randomly gets locked up in a room for like years and years, and then one day gets let out and enacts vengeance, trying to figure out the mystery of why it happened and then killing everybody along the way.
Okay.
It's an incredible film. It's a cultural phenomenon. It got remade in America starring Will Smith for some cockamamie reason.
It's terrible.
And thanks to a friend of mine, Brandon and I discovered what I haven't verified it yet, but may have been the inspiration for Old Boy. And that is a Japanese reality show made in 1998 called
Nasubi.
Well, no, I don't know. Nasubi's the guy's name. It's Susunu Denpa Shonen, which is a prize life contest. And it's starring a guy named Nasubi, a Japanese comedian.
Eggplant man.
Yeah, which translates to eggplant. It's his nickname because he has an eggplant shaped head.
Okay.
So people call him eggplant.
But also, he's naked and they only censor him with an eggplant.
Brandon, you're jumping ahead.
Sorry.
Okay.
This comedian wanted to participate in some kind of thing for television in Japan. They were very vague about what he was competing against other comedians for. He drew a random lottery. So they brought him, they blindfolded him, they put earphones on him, they took him to a room, they said, "All right, take off your clothes. There's nothing in this room. Take off your clothes." And he's like, "What? Whoa, really?" And they're like, "Yeah, do it." They're like, "All of it. Take them all off."
And he thinks it's a joke. He's like, "No."
So this guy's naked in a room. He knows it's going to be on TV. He doesn't know what the hell's happening to him. They shut the door. He is trapped in that room with a toilet, an air conditioner, a shower, a sink, a gas furnace, a small table, a cushion, a rack of magazines, and a telephone, a radio, and a huge stack of postcards. And in Japan, and maybe still, but definitely back then, there was a phenomenon of giveaways and sweepstakes in magazines. It was just a common thing. You'd open up a magazine, you try to win a sweepstakes. So they locked this guy in this room with no outside human contact of any real relevance.
But he had a phone.
The phone was for doing radio contests if you wanted to, but he quickly abandoned that because the success ratio was way lower than what he was experiencing with this other thing. He had to survive. He had no food. He had to survive by winning food and other items that he might need through a mail order contest.
He could only live off of things he won from sweepstakes, and they would only let him out when he reached 1,000,000 yen, which took, how long did this whole contest take him?
Over a year.
He was there for over a year, and there's two parts to it.
There's a collection on YouTube. There's
How did he win enough food to survive?
He ended up winning right off the bat a big bag of rice, which ended up you can survive.
But then he had to figure out
rice.
How to cook it because he had the heat, but he didn't have a container to cook it.
He had
in.
No pots, nothing.
He had no toilet paper.
Which we didn't know till halfway in. He's like, I finally got toilet paper. I'm like, whoa,
he's like, it's been such a shameful experience up until this moment.
We're just like, how have you been wiping yourself?
It's awful. What these producers did is absolutely awful. You watch this guy completely deteriorate. He does all these weird victory dances. He talks to a plush seal. He basically, it's Castaway in a tiny room.
But I think he could have left at any time, but he didn't. He was like,
dude, you know, probably a Japanese sense of honor.
Yeah, he would have committed seppuku.
Also, he would have been naked, so if he ran away, that's a massive cultural taboo. So anyway, if this was airing present day and it was happening...
He could have fashioned some clothes out of the postcards, maybe.
Well, he could have, but then he'd just be naked alone by himself. And also, we at home would not have had the joy of having this naked guy wander around with a huge cartoon eggplant over his junk.
He ended up getting like a massive afro and like pretty scrawny, but like he... there were days where he didn't have like any food. He's like day number two, like I don't have any food, and he had to like keep writing and writing. And he would do thousands and thousands of entries a month, and it would show you how many times he entered.
If this thing is, it's horrible. And if it was happening right now, I would be against it. But now that since it happened,
it's also really
it
funny.
Happened 20 years ago.
Wow. Okay.
So and now you can watch all of it translated on YouTube, and it's phenomenal.
Like 3 hours long for the entire thing.
Yeah.
That's really weird.
It's
I
amazing.
I don't know if I want to watch that or not.
It's fascinating.
Really good.
And hilarious.
There is I mean, I'm going to ruin it. There's a point where he gets a box and he just starts freaking out. And he pulls out, and it's a thing covered in wood chips. And you see this thing crawling out of it. And he just pulls out a live lobster. And he's like so happy. And he's dancing with this live lobster.
But
and
how does he cook it?
He had a gas grill. They didn't show us, but you know that thing
they didn't,
screamed.
They didn't show him butchering the lobster, but he did butcher the lobster and eat it.
And eat it.
Okay.
They're Japanese, you know, they kill seafood, it's okay.
But, so that was fascinating.
No, it's so good. It's so good.
I'm more amazed that there's a contest that you could enter and win where they'd ship you a live lobster.
He ended up winning a TV, but it didn't. There was nothing to do with it. And he won desks and he won like useless things. There was like a whole week where he won nothing but paper prizes. And he's like, I can't live off of this. Like English lessons, like free English lessons.
Too bad he didn't have some sort of like classified ads that he could enter. So he could like be like, oh, have desk. We'll trade for food.
That would be neat. But no, it had to be only things that you could win.
Early on, a ramen delivery guy accidentally comes to his door.
When he's starving.
And he has no money that he could possibly offer him to pay.
Do you want a desk?
Well, this is before he had a desk.
He had nothing.
Oh, okay.
And it was just like the producers may have been responsible for that. I don't know, but it was horrible. It's a horrible thing, but also now it's a fascinating thing. And he's from Fukushima, and now he's an activist doing charity work to help the recovery in Fukushima.
Huh. Okay.
But it's really cool. And if we have links, we'll share them.
Yeah. We'll show where you can watch all of it. And also he was a. He was a guest character on Kamen Rider W. He played the character Watcherman, where he rode around in a bicycle that he won from a prize contest.
It was funny when he did win a really nice fold-up bike and then just had to put it in his tiny room and was trying to ride it around. So he was eating dinner while pedaling on it stationary because it had like two kickstands.
Okay, so there's some stuff that I'll mention next time we have one of these things that I did that was interesting, but... we didn't get to that, but there's something I mentioned early on that I do want to get to. We saw Logan, and Logan was great.
Shit. I forgot. Yeah.
Boar, John, have you guys seen Logan
no.
yet?
No. I want nope. to.
Out of the three films I saw this week, that one is better than the other two.
Wow.
By far.
Better than Get Out.
Yeah.
Better than
Get Out was fun.
It's
but
better
it's,
than Kong?
Get Out's kind of a dumb movie, but it's really fun. It's really cool, but it's still kind of...
Logan was so different from everything that's come before. You know, it's loosely based on... Well, it has actually not at all based on Old Man Logan. It's simply that the premise is it's in the future and Logan is old. That's what it takes from it. In this, because this comic book story of Old Man Logan really involved the Marvel Universe, which of course they can't access with the X-Men cinematic universe.
And this could not have worked as a PG-13 film at all.
It is so very much rated R. The Wolverine violence is, well, it's accurate to if you have claws that can cut through anything.
But even that aside, the dialogue between Wolverine, you know, Hugh Jackman, and Patrick Stewart.
Professor X.
Yeah, the things he says, like, I mean, it's incredible. I love that they let him, like, basically say and do whatever in this movie.
X-23 is amazing.
Doesn't he say fuck you once to Logan? I don't know, but it's really
good. No, he says fuck you, Logan.
Yeah, I mean, it's so good that I feel like companies are finally starting to catch on that you don't need to make a family friendly PG-13 where everything is happy at the end to have a hugely successful movie.
I think it's the characters to being true to the characters you're bothering to interpret in cinema are
rated R characters. Like, yeah,
being true to those characters will garner better results, like critically and financially.
Deadpool and Logan, yeah.
And Deadpool, we have Deadpool to thank for this. If it wasn't for Deadpool, we wouldn't have Logan.
You sure? You think?
Yeah.
Not in the same form that it is.
This is one of my favorite movies. It was so good. There are action scenes, but that is not the best part of the movie by any chance. Or by any means.
I definitely want to see it. That's been on my list.
I will see it again if anyone wants to see it. I am willing to see it again. I
know right now.
Danica wants to see it, so we should. All right, I'm going to ditch work.
Please do.
Feel like committing suicide today. Let's ditch work.
Yeah.
Oh, no, but everyone please see Logan.
Yeah,
support it.
See Logan. It is actually fantastic. There's some things I could nitpick about it, but they ain't worth it. They're most minor, why didn't they do this way?
And then there's just some amazing scenes where you're just like, this is so good. And you're just on the edge of your seat, and it's not even that fast of a scene. It's a really slow scene, but you're just like, it's like gripping.
Yeah, there's some great stuff. Spoiler-free review. It's awesome. Please see it. And we're very at time. I'm sorry we didn't get to talk Signs with John. I'm really disappointed by that. There's some stuff I wanted to share. What was that
about? Signs, like the movie?
Science.
Oh, science.
I thought you said science.
All right. Well, hey, we got like 2 minutes. John, what's a quick science fact that we don't know? Just like boom.
Nope. Not happening.
Boom. Not happening not happening with John.
Well, okay. So taking us out, we got the track Old Man Logan by Pulled From Panels from their 2016 record Versus. And we'll see you next time.